Welcome to News Over Brews, the only podcast that breaks down the best of this week's pop culture over a nice cold beer. Sponsored by PopBreak.com. I am your host and moderator, Al Manarino. On this week's episode, The Rock will finally become a comic book hero, Lucas discusses the weekend metal, and Kirk Cameron tries to save Christmas in this week's Trailer Talk. Welcome to another episode of News Over Brews. I'm Al Manarino, and surprisingly, I'm drinking coffee this episode.
And I'm Ryan DeMarco, and if I could describe my body in one word, it would be tantalizing.
And I'm Lucas Jones, and I'm way too drunk, way too early in the morning for this shit.
Yeah, I really feel like I should not be drinking coffee at this point and should be drinking beer with you guys, but you couldn't find the beer that I found this week, so we're going to have to save it for another time. What did you end up finding this week, Luke?
Well, we ended up getting a beer from Long Trail Brewing Company called Limbo IPA. Comes in at 7.6% alcohol by volume, 80 IBUs, and sold in a six-pack of 12-ounce bottles. So we're talking about... like a bunch of different hops coming together to make like a really balanced IPA, to be completely honest with you. I've heard of Long Trail, obviously. Long Trail makes the double bag and the triple bag and single bag IPA. They make all three.
How original.
Yeah. So I've had their IPAs before and they're all pretty good, but this is like kind of a new breed of IPA from them. It's balanced in its hop characteristics. You're getting bitter, but you're also getting floral and a little fruity. But it's also balanced between the hops and the malts. So, like, it's not overwhelmingly bitter. It's like a nice, it's a heavier IPA. It's an IPA with gravitas, I would say. Yeah. And I think to match that, it has like a darker amber color.
I would even go to say dark orange.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a dark orange.
Yeah, yeah, and it has a big frothy head that kind of sticks around, and the lace stays all the way down the glass. I really like it.
Yeah.
This is a great call. Poor Ryan had to go to the liquor store at 10:30 a.m. to get it.
It wasn't even the right beer.
I was judged so hard today. The woman made so many comments towards me at the counter, I almost went to jail this morning because she was being so rude, but it was so worth it. I kind of took a look around the whatever they had, and you know, I kind of saw a bit of the usual, a lot of the stuff we actually already had on the show, and this kind of stuck out to me. So kind of took a chance with it, and I'm actually really happy I did. Lucas is right. I'm catching a lot of floral, especially a lot of fruits. I'm getting citrus, pine, grapefruit even.
Ooh, good call on the grapefruit.
Yeah. A bloodhound. But, oh yeah, all around solid. I love this. I might actually go back and pick up another one and see that very rude employee again and slap her in the head.
Well, you know what's nice about this is that, domestic violence aside, is that it's like I said, it's just so balanced. Like you get, you know, we talk a lot about how IBU doesn't necessarily matter so much depending on what else is in the beer. Like, a 15 IBU beer can be really bitter if there's no malt, but, you know, a 120-minute IPA is not really that bitter to us because there's so much malt in it.
Yeah.
So this is really, really nice. I wouldn't call it necessarily sessionable unless you're more into bitter stuff. So if you do like bitter beers, you do like IPAs, and this is a really sessionable beer, except for the 8% alcohol.
7.6. I would actually say like it kind of doesn't strike me as a 7.6. Honestly.
No, you can barely taste that high alcohol, which is good and bad. Sold in a six pack, right? How much did you pay for it?
It came out to about I believe it was around the $10 region.
Okay. So you're looking at $10 for a six pack. I mean, if you're looking to chill on some good beer for an evening, this is highly recommended.
Yeah.
Just make sure that you're interested in drinking. Somewhat bitter beer, but it's not just bitter, it's malty too, so it's a nice mix.
No, it's very tasty, very enjoyable. Like you said, balance is very well rounded. I would highly recommend this one.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go ahead and give this I'd say about an 8. Yeah, I'd say an 8.
It's like you're in my goddamn head. I would give it an 8 as well.
Yeah, just a really good offering from Long Trail. Limbo IPA. should be able to find it pretty easily. It's not like a rare release or anything. So go pick it up and give it a shot for yourself.
I'm going to give it a, I have no idea because I haven't tried it yet. I actually had it at a bar on tap before. It was really, really good. Not enough for me to think back and actually review it myself right now, but I'm very jealous that you guys have that. I had a different beer that I wanted to review. Hopefully we can still review that beer one day if you guys are able to find it. And I'm not going to spoil which one that was. But, yeah, so that was a great review. Thank you, Lucas and Ryan. And you guys are going to probably post a picture of the beer as well as a bigger description of the beer itself on Instagram eventually, if Lucas remembers, because he is our Instagram guy. He drinks the most beer out of all of us. You know, nothing against him, but that is what he does.
Oh, no. I mean, I hate social media.
But
all I do is drink beer on this podcast. I literally do nothing else.
Yes.
He's literally wearing a tinfoil hat just so the government doesn't hack into his brain right now.
I know. Unbelievable. All right. Well, let's get into our first bit of news. And it's not something that happened yesterday because we took a week off from the podcast to share with you guys a few things. We had the Loot Crate unboxing with News Over Brews, our new video segment. We were working on our next segment, Behind the Brews, another video segment that's going to be on the Pop Break YouTube channel. And also, we release our first of hopefully many roundtable discussions where we bring in a bunch of our friends, our loved ones who really like beer, and we try a bunch of different things that you can't get in the area that Lucas was nice enough to bring back from his trip up to Boston and back, where he went through Connecticut and got some cool beers as well. And that episode is available on SoundCloud. So this news, like I mentioned, isn't that new. It's about maybe a week and a half ago. But it's something we really wanted to discuss because it was something pretty cool. And it's, you know, our favorite wrestler turned actor, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. He has been teasing for, Rye, how long has he been teasing that he is going to be a superhero of some sort?
At least a year, I'd say.
I would go back further. Remember when they were teasing the Lobo adaptation, and he said, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna be that hero," and he kept saying that I think it's been a few years now that The Rock has said
it's been. Yeah, it might not even be right. Probably at least over a year. It's been so long. He's been like, yeah. DC, you know, like, and then it might have been over a year since he's been proclaiming that DC has been working with him.
That's true. And everyone was like, "Oh, he's gonna be the next Green Lantern because Jon Stewart is an African American Green Lantern." And he's actually a big fan favorite character. And The Rock has professed his love for him many times. And so we were just wondering, stop teasing us, like, tell us who you're going to be. So then he gave us a hint maybe 2 weeks ago saying that he's either going to be Shazam, who is really Captain Marvel, or Black Adam, who is the anti-hero and pretty much nemesis of Captain Marvel. So it was finally released that he's going to be Black Adam, which is awesome because The Rock is, it still surprises me how good of an actor he is, you know? And everything he's in, he's pretty much saved, what, three franchises from being erased?
Or helped,
yeah.
I guess, yeah.
He got the Fast and Furious franchise. He kind of saved with Fast 5. G.I. Joe, the sequel, he kind of became the new lead where Channing Tatum was kind of, I guess, done with the whole franchise, and he kind of took over. And then even Journey to the Center of the Earth, the sequel, did fantastic because of him. So,
yeah, he's definitely a fan favorite. And
yeah.
This is nothing but a smart move, really, for DC.
Absolutely. And so I'm going to shoot it to you guys. First, Lucas, because he's not the big comic book buff out of me, out of the group, but he is a fan of The Rock. So, Rock... Hey, Rock, what do you think? No. Lucas, what do you think?
Chabroni!
What do you think of this casting decision?
Not the same guy.
He said Chabroni a lot.
Well, I mean...
Well, let me finish the question. What do you think of the casting decision, and do you think it's cool that The Rock is playing an anti-hero instead of, you know, a major, well-known superhero?
I mean, yeah. It'd be cool to see The Rock in, like, kind of a villainy perspective to see what he can kind of do. To be honest, I really don't know who Black Adam is, so I really can't comment on anything else. I don't know who Captain Marvel is. The only Shazam I know is the character played by Shaquille O'Neal in the movie of the same name. But I am interested in seeing The Rock in more of a villain perspective. Because, yeah, the last time I saw him in a movie was Fast 6.
Yeah.
Where he was like... my reaction to him in that movie was, wow. What's his name? God.
Luke Hobbs.
No. The Vin Diesel. Like, wow, Vin Diesel is really big. How did he get so... Oh, my God, is that The Rock or is that a mountain with legs?
And it was a mountain with legs, surprisingly.
So, I mean, I like The Rock. I kind of have a soft spot for him.
Yeah.
He's actually, the little known fact, he is the reason why I can lift my one eyebrow. Because I saw him do it when I was younger, and I was like, that's really cool. I should learn how to do that. And now my only form of emotion is through my eyebrows. So, I have a soft spot for The Rock. I would love to smell what he's cooking in the department of villains and anti-heroes. As Al tries not to laugh on microphone to my amazing pun.
Boo!
So I'm looking forward to it. Ryan?
Thanks for leaving me in the dust with that one. I hate to burst your bubble, but he did play a villain once in the very, very terrible 2005 flop, Doom. Remember the video game Doom?
I remember the video game, but I didn't see the movie.
They came out with a movie.
He was the villain in that?
Yeah, he was Sarge. He was like the hero that was in the game. It was weird. It was a really bad movie.
It was. Don't watch it.
Despite him and Carl Urban being in it, I remember seeing it in the movie theater, and just like I was like, this is like terrible. Like he was the good guy, and then he turns bad at the end, and it was. But overall, of all that disastrous movie, he was a good asshole villain. You wanted to see him die, pretty much. And
spoiler alert, by the way.
Spoiler alert, you want to see him die. the reason I'm bringing it up is he has the chops to not just be the good guy that we all love and root for. He is a really good actor. That's why he's still in this business. He surprises people because he's got the acting chops. Next, he'll probably be in The Bold and the Beautiful, because he's a wonderful actor. And, no, I'm just kidding. So, he's a really good actor. He was just in Hercules. I didn't hear any good news about that, besides his actual performance.
He was Hercules.
He looked like him.
If you didn't see the trailer, you don't know he's Hercules, and then he's Hercules. With a lion mane. This is really ranting, I'm sorry. But overall, very exciting news. I'm very excited for it. We don't obviously have a whole lot of information on like a movie or when or where, but we just know he's going to be Shazam and Black Adam, rather. And it's very exciting news. Can't wait to see him. Hope he's in more things.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think that's going to be a problem. I think he is definitely going to be in more things. And you said that we don't have a lot of information about it. That's true. The only thing we do know is... DC announced a bunch of untitled films in their lineup, after Batman and Superman Dawn of Justice, Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice, which is still the worst title ever, even though I'm really excited about that movie. And
well, how could you not be?
I know. So I'm guessing one of those is going to be Shazam. I don't know who's going to try to fight The Rock. Like, that is my question. Like, who are they going to... Are they going to just put Vin Diesel as Shazam, as Captain Marvel? Come on.
Maybe just John Cena. Maybe just another wrestler. So, someone could just give him, like, a...
So no one sees this film? Come
if
on.
The Rock is in it, they'll see it. That's been attested with Journey to the Center of the Earth 2.
True.
I mean, to be completely fair, no matter how big The Rock is, he's still not big enough to stop a bullet. So, like, and you could put anyone against him as long as they have, like, a gun.
You don't know anything about the character, so...
Ryan has been telling me about the character. I don't remember what he told me, but I don't know what his powers are. Is one of his powers the ability to stop a bullet?
Probably. He's a superhero.
See, you don't even know.
But why would... All right, if he is a villain and... If bullets were his weakness, then wouldn't any cop be able to stop him?
Batman does.
Bullets are Batman's weakness. You don't see him getting shot.
Bullets, my weakness.
All right, we're going to stop there because this is turning into the worst description of this character. Let's move on to our next topic. But yes, we are really excited to see The Rock in any role, let alone being a DC villain, which is going to be so cool. But our next topic, we're going to go right into music, and Lucas is very excited about this because it's the week in metal.
It is this week in metal. That's right. So after a very long absence, I know that you all have missed this week in metal.
No, we haven't.
The theme music, plays in the background because I get to write my own theme music. And Al takes off his headphones and Ryan goes in the other room. So, some cool stuff is happening in metal the last couple of weeks. Two big things. First, Exodus. Huge thrash metal band. Kirk Hammett was in Exodus and then left to go to Metallica, but Exodus has become famous, well-known in their own right. They have a new album coming out. It's called Blood In, Blood Out, and it's coming out October 14th via Nuclear Blast. And so they released a single from the album featuring Zetro Souza, Steve Zetro Souza, pardon me. So that's the singer on the track, and also Kirk Hammett contributed a guest solo. It's very easy to tell when Kirk Hammett's solo comes in, because Kirk Hammett's wah pedal makes a distinctive appearance on the album. But I will say this, the track, the single, is awesome. I loved it. I'm a huge fan of Exodus, I'm a huge fan of thrash metal. There's not enough thrash metal nowadays. It's either this like weird hardcore death metal stuff, or it's like pop punk, or it's, you know, hipsters in scarves and glasses playing Telecasters. So the fact that Exodus is coming out with a new album is really cool. Salt the Wound is the track, and you can pretty much, I found it on metalsucks.net, but you can pretty much find it anywhere just by Googling it. I love it, so definitely check it out. The second piece of heavy metal news, for those of you who are lucky enough to love Devin Townsend, and yes, he's big in the metal scene, but he doesn't have outside of the metal scene success, which is tough in today's day and age, I'll admit, but so he made a record called Ziltor the Omniscient, about a interdimensional alien who comes to Earth in search of the perfect cup of coffee. And when he doesn't get it, he invades the Earth and tries to destroy all of humanity.
Perfectly reasonable.
Perfectly reasonable. Because everyone knows what a bad cup of coffee is like. Devin Townsend, not Ziltoid, Devin Townsend has used the character Ziltoid in many of his concerts, but fans have always been wanting another, another Ziltoid album. And Devin Townsend has been doing a couple of things here and there. He put Casualties of Cool together. He released a couple of other albums with Devin Townsend Project. And he's been doing some other stuff. But finally, all of a sudden it seems, he just kind of dropped this on us. Z2, the sequel to Ziltoid the Omniscient, is coming out October 27th. It's going to be a double album. Half of it is going to be Devin Townsend Project, and half of it is going to be Ziltoid. And right from his Facebook page, he says the concept kind of expands on Ziltoid the alien and his sci-fi adventures in a way that kind of throws back to 50s radio plays, but obviously with complicated heavy music as its soundtrack. So if you are a fan of the first Ziltoid album, if you are a fan of coffee, black, in less than 5 minutes, check it out. It's going to be really cool. Devin Townsend is one of the heaviest artists we have right now, and not just heavy for the sake of heavy. Heavy in a creative, musical way. And he's such a diverse and talented musician that, he's bound to have something you like. So check out the news surrounding Ziltoid 2. If you've never listened to the first Ziltoid the Omniscient album, go do that now. It's great. It's a concept album. It flows from the first track to the end. It's really, really cool. So that is This Week in Metal, as always. Thank you very much, because without the interest in metal, which my co-presenters don't share, I wouldn't be able to have this segment. Yeah, as Al falls asleep, Ryan's finally back, so I think now that's time to give the microphone back to these hipster music-listening co-presenters of mine. Al?
Well, thank you, Lucas, for another fantastic week in metal. The best part about it, though, was... since we're on Skype and I'm watching you two, while you were speaking, Ryan was passed out behind you. It was hilarious, and
Thanks for insulting us, too.
Listen, one of these days, music and culture and everything is cyclical, right? So right now, what's in fashion? High-waisted shorts and, like, 60s and 70s fashion, right? So first the 60s came back, and now we have, like, folk music, right? And now the 70s is starting to come back with, like, these more heavier rock-oriented groups.
Oh, God.
What comes after the 70s?
The 90s.
Go straight to the 90s.
They're skipping the 80s.
The 80s come after the 70s.
Listen, if I see big blonde hair
Give it 5 years, and I will be the forefront of musical hipness. Because the 80s will be back, and I will be ready.
Like the rock and roll apocalypse.
You've been ready for like the better part of a
decade.
I've been
ready for years.
I've been ready since 1990.
Just give me the word. Actually, all the 80s hair metal fans that are left around the world are all connected via a red telephone. And when the call when the phone rings and the call goes out, we all don our leather pants and our ripped T-shirts and tease our hair up, and we just start roaming the streets.
I thought someone blows into a conch shell and everyone hears it.
What happens when the 80s resurgence dies again?
It won't.
And becomes the 90s.
Because
now.
Kurt Cobain isn't alive anymore, so no one will be able to kill it.
Really?
Moment of silence for that horrible, horrible.
Well, we can either have a moment of silence or we can have a moment of really terrible guitar solos, which is what Kurt Cobain has brought us. Listen, I like Nirvana, but I'll never forgive him for what he did to the 80s.
He made them not cool.
He dragged them into a corner, he loaded a shotgun, and he just blasted the 80s right in the face.
I hope we're not keeping that.
We are. Okay. Back to you, Al.
We're keeping that? But you delete everything I say? You son of a bitch?
Right. Anyway, moving on to our final topic, and I'm very surprised because we're only 20 minutes into this podcast. This is going to be like the quickest one since the first episode, which is... I'm completely okay with.
Quickest one since last night.
Yes. Quickest one since...
All right. Anyway, keep going.
Anyway. Idiot. Our final topic, which we usually save for trailer talk, we're going to be using trailer talk, and wow, we are going to talk about this one. So many films are like premiering in the Toronto International Film Festival, and you have New York... right around the corner, and like some of the greatest films of the year are going to be shown, like Inherent Vice, The Imitation Game, Birdman, which I can't believe I just said, but yeah, it's amazingly probably going to be one of the best films coming out there. I know I'm skipping one. Regardless, there's some great films coming out in the next couple months. Can't wait, very excited. But we had to do the trailer for Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas. Just from the poster alone. Lucas, can you give us a quick description of the poster?
Oh, God. It's just awful. It's Kirk Cameron in like a Bruce Lee action pose. But instead of like fists and abs, he's got like a candy cane and like a ball, like a globe of like an angel type thing. And it's just... everything's disproportionate. It's just like a Christmas tree and like a candy cane. And it's like... take, like, the poster for Bloodsport, but make it about Christmas. And that's what you have.
In the worst way possible. And then, let's just get right into this trailer. I mean, from the beginning, you know this is bad. Just from the title. We all know that Kirk Cameron's super Christian, and I'm not... here's the thing. Before we even get into trashing this trailer, I have nothing against religion. In the sense that I'm not going to make fun of someone else's religion ever, because it's what they believe in. That being said, this is the most preachy thing I think I've ever seen in my life. And I've watched like the 700 Club on accident before, and that is terrible.
I don't think anybody's ever watched that on purpose.
Yeah,
or
no one's watched
it. Watch it for?
Because, so every morning at school, I would wake up really early for class, come home, and I'd watch like one or two episodes of reruns of Boy Meets World, and then fall asleep. But if I didn't fall asleep fast enough, the 700 Club would come on. So that's what would happen. Regardless, this is very preachy. It's pretty much saying that Christmas has gone away from being about Christ and religion and has moved on to being very commercial with Santa Claus and presents and all of this stuff. And it's funny because Kirk Cameron isn't the one who's preaching about it. It's this other character. And Kirk Hammett's kind of like there, and he says, like, all right, I understand. I'm going to try to save it. That's what I got out of it before I threw up. I mean, what about you guys?
Let me sum it up in one sentence so nobody has to go see it. Is Kirk? Imagine sitting down in a room with Kirk Cameron and asking him about Christmas. And Kirk Cameron would say to you, here's what he would say. I know that Christmas has become commercialized, but it's up to you, the true believer, to make sure people understand the real meaning of Christmas. And that's the birth of Jesus. Now you don't have to go see the movie. Because that's what the movie is about.
That's what they're trying to explain.
That's what they're trying to explain. They've created this other character that's like, I don't want to celebrate Christmas because it's commercialized and stuff. It's just like about the pagans. And that's true because a lot of Christmas symbols come from pagan religions. You know, but it's just, ugh, why? Why?
Like, I understand the message. Like, Christmas has become so commercialized in the past, I'd say 10 years, where it just gets worse and worse each year. And you know what? Slightly, it kind of takes you out of Christmas now a little bit too. Like, I was just saying this to someone else, how Christmas used to be my favorite holiday, and now over the years, the whole fall season kind of like overshadowed Christmas. Like, Christmas, you're kind of like, eh, whatever. It's just done to death now. It's terrible. And then this movie comes along where it's just pretty much, I saw the trailer. Instead of seeing this movie, I would rather suck on an old, dirty sock for a day and a half while sitting in a bath of vinegar. That is what I'd rather do. This movie was terrible. I mean, the trailer was terrible. It was unfunny. Had the stereotypical flamboyant black guy who praises Jesus. Had the terrible puns for how Christmas has gotten so shitty. It was just a train wreck all around. I couldn't wait for the trailer to be over, and it was only 2 minutes long. And just the fact that it's in limited release, I lose hope for this world, pretty much. That's what I have to say about this. And that is my thought.
You probably couldn't said it any better. You've said it worse, and we had to edit it out.
We had to edit it out, that's for sure.
This movie looks like a ton of crap, and it's not even because it's a Christmas movie starring Kirk Cameron. It's because it's a Christmas movie starring Kirk Cameron, and that's the only way to describe it.
Well, and like here's the thing is that every year we go through the same thing. We talk about the war on Christmas. We talk about how like people are trying to dilute the meaning of Christmas. Yada yada yada, blah blah blah. Listen, here's the thing. Like, if you want to claim that a holiday is religious in nature, that's fine. You could do that. But when that holiday becomes a public day off for a large majority of employees, both public and private, expect that it's gonna have other parts of the holiday. So like, expect that people who are not necessarily religious. Because I'm atheist, I still celebrate Christmas. Why? Because my family celebrates Christmas. And whether or not you agree with the religious aspect, it's still a good time to have family around. It's nice to get to see your family. It's nice to show them you appreciate them. And sure, we take a day to, like, do that. And is it a religious day? Sure. But these types of movies, all they do is they like, serve to divide us over an issue that, in my opinion, really doesn't matter. So, not only is it a terrible film, but also it's a symptom of a larger issue in American society, which I know this podcast doesn't cover.
No.
But
that's our next podcast.
Well, those are the two reasons why I don't like this, is because it's a terrible film. And also the other reason is because all it does is serve to perpetrate this us versus them type thing.
It's just like an hour and a half of them just preaching, pretty much.
Yeah. It's like, go to mass. Just go to mass. Go to church on Christmas Eve, and you'll hear the same thing without having to pay $11.
Yeah, like, you only have to see this movie, and you can just... They just told you in like a 2-minute video they could probably sum up this entire movie without the horrible jokes and just the sympathy laughs.
Yes.
Well, I think they did summarize this movie in a 2-minute video.
They did.
It's the trailer.
God, that's why you're on the show. College just paid off, Lucas.
Drunk as shit, and I still managed to come
up with that. 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Whatever.
But seriously, whatever, it's America.
Exactly.
So, yeah, don't see this movie.
Please don't.
See this movie. Save your money. Save just the sympathy. Do not
save Christmas.
Save Christmas by not seeing this piece of trash of a movie.
All right, I have a counter offer though. I think when this movie eventually comes on Netflix or on DVD, I think we should rent it. And hear me out. I think we should make a News Over Brews drinking game out of this ridiculous movie. So all the tropes, all of like the preachiness, all of the lame jokes. I think we could make it an amazing drinking game out of this. I think we would be like hammered at least by halfway into this movie.
We could probably do that.
I'd only play it if you guys hit me in the head repeatedly with a rubber mallet. That's the only way I'd sit through this movie.
All right, Ryan, deal. So, you heard it here. We reviewed the trailer for Kirk Cameron Saving Christmas, so you don't have to watch it. But really, you should watch it anyway, because it's really bad.
Considering it's a limited release, odds are people aren't going to go see it anyway.
No one's going to see it. It's like we're preaching to the choir.
Because who goes to see movies anyway? Really? No, seriously.
Everyone, Lucas.
Well, not everyone, because if you read the statistics, this is the lowest summer of movies since 1992.
Mm-hmm. Well, look at the movies that came out.
And
there was three good ones, and that's a discussion for another time, because we're actually out of time. Thank you for listening to another episode of News Over Brews. I'm Al Manarino, and I really don't like Kirk Cameron.
And I'm Ryan DeMarco. And, what could I say about Kirk Cameron that won't get censored? Oh, that's right. Nothing.
And I'm Lucas Jones, and as the audio editor for this podcast, I'm probably just going to censor Ryan's entire spiel about pretty much everything in this episode.
Good idea.
I have the power.
Thanks for listening.